Well, it is great having everybody here this cold, blistery morning. It started hailing yesterday, and then it quit, and then it started again, and the hail was about twice the size it was before. I mean, still mothball size, but you know, it wasn't big hail. But it's like, yeah, winter's here. Tico Mountain had snow on top of it. So it's like, yep, winter is getting closer and closer. Did everybody get my message about changing your, you're here, so I guess you got my message on changing your clocks. I didn't have to change mine because my phone automatically changes. You know, my computer automatically changes. But I have a clock beside my bed that I forgot to change in the one by the TV. And so last night, it's like, oh, 9 o'clock, got to go to bed. Which is a good thing I did, so I got the extra hour of sleep there. But I got up this morning, I rolled over and I looked at it, and it's like almost 6 o'clock. I get up at 6:30, I'll go ahead and get up 30 minutes early and work on my lesson more. Got downstairs, started working on the computer, and I looked at, what? 5:30? I got up an hour early because I didn't change that clock. So, got to listen to my own self, right? So anyway, it's good to have you here this morning on time. And Kath, yes.
I just want to comment through a squirrel. There's 3 new additions to the directory on the table back here, so get them hot off the press. Grab one before they're gone.
You got me all excited. You're going to throw a squirrel. I want to see him, you know, splat him against the wall.
No.
That's what he said. He said he was going to throw a squirrel. But yeah, there are some more directory pages back there. If you haven't already gotten them, pick them up and add them, please. You know, if you need a directory, let him know so we can get you one. I think we have some here that we can hand out. Kathy, for those of you who don't know, has pneumonia again, and she went to the ladies' day at the Valley yesterday, but got there and then didn't feel good, and so Tori took her to the emergency room, and they said she was dehydrated, and so they gave her a bottle of fluids. And she got to feeling better, and they ran a bunch more tests to find out if she has a bacterial or viral infection, and so they know how to treat her and go from there. So hopefully they can find out why she's just getting, you know, it's infection after infection after infection. So please remember her in your prayers. Anything else? Let's go to God in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that we have, that we can come and worship you as a family and to study your word more in depth. And just pray, Father, that you'll be with me as I present the class and the lesson, that I can do so in a way that we can apply it to our lives and that we can be stronger Christians, Father, but yet we can also spread your word. Pray you'll be with Kathy and Kathy Flannery, who's also sick. And just be with them, Father, and anybody else who is sick today, that they can get better and come back and join us in worship. Pray, Lord, that you'll forgive us of our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are in 3 John. We're continuing our study. We should finish it up today. Just real quickly, just showing the outline. We've already covered the introduction. In the blessings and his encouraging works of truth with Gaius. Today we're going to pick up with reproving the opponents of truth, Diotrephes, and then the commending the witness of truth with Demetrius, and then of course the conclusion. And if by chance we finish this, we'll go ahead and start into Jude. Any questions on what we have looked at so far? Okay. Again, Gaius was the first person that John talked about in offering hospitality, which is something that we as Christians should be. We should be hospitable, which is the outpouring of, you know, of ourselves to others, inviting people into our homes. And remember, they did not have a church building like we have today that we can gather in. They met in each other's homes. We see that in Acts 2, where they were meeting daily in their homes. And they did not have a full-time minister. And so people who were trained, if you will, would travel around to the different churches. And that's what he was talking about, was that, you know, they were showing hospitality to these men who were traveling around and preaching for a while. They were helping them, and then they would move on. The one we're going to look at today is Diotrephes, having a power struggle, and that he will see was not being the Christian that they have talked about. And then Demetrius we'll look at today also, and how he was doing. So if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 3 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. And we'll pick up where we left off in verse 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So right off the bat, he's saying that we've written to the church about this, but this gentleman here, and we don't know his position, but he is putting himself first. Okay? Is that something that a Christian should do? No. Who should we be putting first? God. Okay? Jesus. Okay, so he right there is doing what he shouldn't be doing as a Christian and putting himself first, okay? And he does not acknowledge our authority. Now, the scholars think that John was the last of the apostles. Scriptures don't say, but just the time frame, they think he was the last of the apostles. So I don't know who this our authority is, but the leaders of the church at that time, you know, the ones that were helping to get the church going. I'm assuming we don't know for sure who this hour is, but this gentleman, Diotrephes, is not acknowledging their authority as to who they are. Do we have that problem today in churches where somebody doesn't recognize the deacon or the elders? You know, they're put there by Christ, you know, his authority to have the elders of the church, to oversee the church, and to keep the church, I don't want to use the term in line, but to keep them scriptural, okay? The elders are over the spiritual aspect of the church. And they're saying here that he does not recognize our authority, doesn't recognize who we are, what we represent in the church. So we see here, you know, in this first verse, two problems with Diotrephes. Verse 10, so if I come, John doesn't know for sure if he's going to be there or not. You know, we've seen that in his the writings. But he does, if I do come, I will bring up what he is doing. So if John shows up, wherever this is at, we don't know, again, this was not written to a specific church, but in general, okay, wherever this was at, you know, is having these problems with the false teachers, with the Gnostic teachers. But I will bring more information on what's going on. But he's talking wicked nonsense against us. Okay? So, Diotrephes is bringing up wicked nonsense, just spreading rumors, I guess I could say. Okay, about John and whoever, again, whoever this us is. So he's, again, he's causing problems. And not content with that, okay, so that's not all he's doing. Not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. Which brothers, we don't know. But again, with the context of this book, this chapter, dealing with the traveling ministers, if I can use that term, the traveling ministers are going around, he's not welcoming them, which again goes back to what he said here, that he doesn't want them coming in and bringing in the truth, probably. So he's not even welcoming them. He's not showing these brothers who are traveling around preaching, he's not showing them hospitality. Okay, he refuses to welcome them. And he also stops those who want to. The other members of the congregation there, the other members of the church who want to welcome these traveling ministers. He's stopping them from doing it. Okay? And he puts them out of the church. So in other words, you want to be hospitable and, you know, let people, somebody stay with you. And, well, I'm sorry, we're going to put you out of the church because you're being hospitable to these ministers or whoever. Now, there was a retreat of some sort a couple of weeks ago over in Missoula that Alex told me about. And they were keeping people in their homes. So you don't have to go over there and pay for a hotel because it's kind of expensive in Missoula. But they opened their homes. When I went down to Florida, to Niceville, for that door knocking campaign, I stayed with the minister because they opened their house up to the people who were coming in. And, you know, that was being hospitable. Well, this guy, Diotrephes, oh, you want to keep a traveling minister in your house? Well, you're out of the church. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian, you're out of the church. So this guy has made himself kind of the ruler of that church and doing the things that a Christian should not be doing, and then those who want to do what is right, he's kicking them out. Even the ministers are coming around, he's kicking them out. In other words, he's making that church his own. And, of course, that is not right. That is not what we read in the scriptures that a church should be. He's going against everything that Christians represent. And so that is what John is doing, is he's bringing this up to them in this letter or epistle, whatever you want to call it. In case he doesn't make it there, I want you to know ahead of time what's going on. Somebody had their hand up?
I do.
Okay, you got yours up now.
Yes. I want to talk a little bit about the authority that he mentions here. John had the authority to correct him. And the reason he had the authority was because, first of all, he was an apostle chosen by Jesus.
Okay.
And he was also guided by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Yes and no. The Bible gives us our authority, but just because you're not a leader in the church, you're not a deacon, an elder, a minister, whatever, doesn't mean that you don't have the authority to correct somebody who is not following the scriptures.
I don't mean that we don't have elders that have authority.
Right. Yes.
He was taking authority on his own.
Yes.
Yes. And that was the point I was making.
Right, yeah. He's taking the authority on his own, but it's not just that. He's taking the authority to rule that church, that group of Christians there, and you're going to do it my way, right, not the Lord's way. And that's what we're seeing here that John's pointing out is, you know, you need, hey, heads up. And we'll cover this a little bit more later. But he's running it his way. You know, it's my way or the highway, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Slamming the door.
Hang on, Jack.
Even with elders, elders get their authority from God's word.
Correct.
They don't have the authority on their own. It's given to them through the word.
Right. Yeah, and you can have the case where even, you know, elders try to do their own thing instead of what the scriptures say.
Right.
Bob? Robert?
I was just going to say, this Demetrius character, he's the other guy was supportive of traveling believers, whereas this guy slams the door in their face.
Right.
Excommunicates them from society and civil
Right. Well, these two scriptures don't give us the full story, but I'm just going to say from what I'm seeing here is he doesn't like the truth. He wants to run it his way, and that's the reason he's not letting these traveling ministers come in, is because I don't want the truth. I don't want you teaching the truth. Let me give an example of that. A few years ago, churches started bringing Bibles into Mexico City, which was totally a Catholic city, millions of people. And they were, the Catholic Church was trying to stop this because they didn't want the Catholics there to get a Bible in their hand and read the truth, okay? And read that, and realize that what it is the Catholic priests have been teaching them for years was wrong. And so they literally tried stopping churches from bringing the church, bringing Bibles to the Mexico City, because they didn't want the truth there. So it's kind of the same thing that's going on here, is he doesn't want the truth coming in.
Well,
I'm the truth, and I'm going to tell you what's the truth.
Exactly.
Okay?
Their authority, that's all they want.
Yeah.
And anything other than that, that's going to compromise what they've got going on.
Right. Anna?
We get our authority from the Bible.
Yes.
Back in, during the time of the Doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the rest of the congregation, whoever was listening to the doctrine, didn't have a whole lot of background knowledge other than listening to what's being shared verbally.
Mm-hmm.
So Diotrephes is taking on more really than he should.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard it explained this way, and I'm sure it's through archaeological digs and whatever. Well, you know, we come to church, we open our Bible up, and we've got several, you all have one, you know, and we turn to this, and we turn to it, and we can read it. Well, back then, they did not have that, okay? You know, they had the letter that was given to them, or the Old Testament Bibles, you know, not Bibles, but information that was handed down was on scrolls. And they would have to have a scribe transfer, you know, the books of Moses to more, you know, scrolls, and then they would have, they walked into the synagogue, there would be like what we'd call a bookcase or whatever with these concaves in them, and that's where the scrolls would be at that were handed to them from a scribe that wrote them down, okay? And so then they would pull that scroll out of the book of Moses, and they would open it up, and that's what they would read from, you know, at the synagogue. And that's what they're doing here is, you know, pulling out a scroll that was handed to them, you know, Book of Acts or whatever we want to call it, and they'd open it up, and that's what they would read from. It's not a Bible like we have it. We've heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, okay? Whenever Jerusalem was being captured by the Romans, the scribes grabbed all these scrolls that they had, you know, transcribed and evacuated Jerusalem to this area, and it begins with a Q, this area where the caves were at, and they were taking all these scrolls that they had meticulously copied and was putting them in those clay pots and storing them in these caves. And that's what they're still finding in these caves. I saw a documentary on it, to where they're going in and they're still locating caves and digging them out and finding more clay pots with all the scrolls in it. Okay.
They didn't have parts of the Bible, but they had some.
Right.
From the beginning. And where they did have their authority is that they received it through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit gave them the authority to present God's truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the great thing about these Dead Sea Scrolls, and I got the opportunity one time, we went down to Oklahoma City when our daughter lived there, and there was a scholar, doctor, whatever, scientist, who actually got to work on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he was given a presentation on it, and he said that of all the scrolls that they had found and have translated it, because it was written in original Hebrew, and compared it to the Bible that we have today, it's all been totally accurate. The only thing was Psalm, I think it's 118, and I don't remember, I think it was like five verses that say when Psalm 118 kind of seemed disjointed. And there are, I think, five scriptures that fit into that area that was disjointed. And he says that's the only thing that did not match up to the Bibles that we have today were those like five verses. So you're talking thousands of years old scripts, and our Bible today is right on. You know, that says something about our Bible. You know, that it's not man-made, that it, you know, and again, they've never been able to find anything wrong with it, nothing that contradicts itself. It's all proven. Yes. Right.
And it's living.
Yes, it is.
Always living.
Now, I had one question that was presented to me last week that I want to bring up today, and that was, if we had a Diotrephes in the church today, this doesn't tell us what to do. How do we treat that person if they were in the church today doing these type of things? Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is, you know, if I hand you a dollar bill and a fake dollar bill, how are you going to know which is which? By knowing the truth, isn't it? By knowing what a real dollar bill. And Kathy, you know, she worked in the bank, and they were never trained on fake dollar bills. They were just trained on handling real ones. And she said it was amazing how she'd be sitting there counting dollars, you know, $20, $100 bills, and all of a sudden she'd stop. She'd go, wait a minute, that feels weird. That feels different. That feels funny. And sure enough, it would be a fake one. It's because she knew what the truth was, what a real dollar bill was. When a fake one came across her hand, ding, you know, the light came on. Well, it's the same thing with us today. We need to know the truth. How do we know the truth? By studying the truth, okay? That's the reason we have Bible classes. That's the reason, you know, I preach. I have a bunch of scriptures up there. Because we need to know the truth. It's not me. It's the truth. Okay? And that's what we need to know. We need to study the truth. Then, when somebody comes in and starts preaching or teaching the wrong truth, okay, preaching something different than the truth, then, ding, the light should come on, and we'll know that. But we don't let them do it, do we? We need to confront them lovingly. And no, that's not what the scriptures say. That's not what we do. That's not how we worship. We need to do it this way. And if they continue on, then we need to disfellowship from them. Go to them, the elders, and talk to them. And disfellowship from them because they are continuing to do like Diotrephes did here. Okay? Now, is Diotrephes the only one listed in the Bible? That's wrong. No, and we'll bring those scriptures up here in a little bit. If we have the chance, if we have the time this morning, we should. Anything else? Does that answer your question?
I was going to say the book of Philemon.
Yes.
With the same subject.
Yes. I mean, there's several scriptures in the New Testament dealing with false teachers, okay, and false doctrines. And the way you know that, again, is by knowing the truth, okay, and then that will help us in identifying when something false comes up. But we need to deal with it and, you know, and stop it in its tracks. Verses 11 and 12. Demetrius, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Plain and simple. We need to be doing what it is that's good, not what is evil. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. And I've preached this and taught this several times here lately, is that there's only two paths, the narrow path, the wide path, God, devil, you know, good, evil. There is no middle ground. There is no, you know, opposite or alternate way. It's one or the other, good or evil. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So Demetrius is doing good. Okay, there is no bad testimony coming about him. He knows the truth. He's teaching the truth. And they're adding their testimony. Again, whoever this hour is, John and whoever, that they know that what Demetrius is doing is good and true, and believe him. Okay? And then the farewell. Verses 13 through 15. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. And again, I brought this up at the end of John 2. You know, how many times when you've texted somebody or emailed somebody, it got confused, okay? Because you can't get your thoughts sometimes down on the ink or on the keyboard to where it means the same thing. Okay.
Starting at 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy.
Okay. Very true. Again, the truth is one thing, but being, you know, intentionally teaching false doctrine, again, is not coming from God. It is coming from the devil. Right. I mean, I can ask my phone.
Talking about face to face is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
I'm going to share that example with you where I would text him and say, oh, yeah, hang in there, you know, but really it's not the same as looking at you eye to eye and you looking at me eye to eye.
Yeah. My phone and your phones would probably do the same thing. I can say, hey, Google, and ask it a question, and if it decides to listen to me, it'll respond back and it reads it to me, but it's a very monotone computer generated voice that has no emotions, that has no change of, you know, whatever. It's just yada, 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 yada. But yet when I'm talking, and that's how it is when you read it, you know, it's just plain. But yet when I'm talking to you, I can put emotions, I can emphasize. You know, and I can get it right and make sure, what did you mean by that? And I can explain it. Whereas when I'm texting you or emailing you, whatever, it's whatever I'm thinking, and I might not remember everything, and that's what it is. And so John is saying, I recognize that, you know, I'm giving you information, but I'm not giving you all of it because that's going to take time. And I'm not going to get the point across perfectly. So I'm just giving you a heads up on these things, just in case I can't make it back, okay? And he said that. I might not make it. I'm hoping to see you eye to eye, face to face, but I might not. So here's what you need to look out for. Here's the bullets, you know, or what to look for. If I can make it back, then I'll tell you face to face everything that's going on, okay? Any questions about 3 John? Okay, lessons to be learned from 3 John. We need to recognize false teachers and stop them in their tracks. All right? And that is what John is doing here with Demetrius is, hey, look out. He's not teaching the truth. He's not doing what, you know, Christians should be doing, or, you know. And Paul does this in three different places. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 19 and 20, he calls out Hymenaeus and Alexander for being false teachers. He calls out Hymenaeus again and Philetus in 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 18. He calls them out as being false teachers. And in 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 14, he talks about Jannes and Jambres, again, who are false teachers. Again, how do we know that? Because they're not teaching the truth, and we only know that by reading the truth and knowing the truth. And you can't just read it once and know it, you know, unless you've got an idyllic memory and you can read it once and never forget it, okay, which I don't have. So we need to read it over and over and over again. And the thing about it is, and we've talked about this, is, you know, you can read a story, you can read, you know, a story, you can read a parable, you can read miracles, whatever, time and time again, but you're in a different place today when you read it, and you see it differently, you interpret it differently, it affects you differently, okay? So don't think that, oh, just because I read the Bible all the way through, I don't need to read it again. We need to continually read it, continue to study it, okay? And that way we know the truth when it's presented to us in a false way. Number two, lesson is teaching the truth is important. Listening to the truth is important. And that's the reason I always keep telling you is don't believe what I tell you. Go to the scriptures and verify. That's the reason I give you the scriptures. So you can look it up yourself. I give you the scripture so you can read it yourself. Okay? Know the truth. Number three, those who teach the truth deserve our support. And again, they were talking about the traveling ministers and supporting them in their work or going from city to city. Those who teach the truth must also live by the truth. You can't be double-faced. I teach this on Sunday, but I live this way Monday through Saturday. No, if you're teaching it, you need to live by it. Okay? And then hospitality is still an important and necessary ministry. What is hospitality?
Treating somebody the same way you want to be treated.
Okay. It's giving of ourselves. You know, you invite somebody into your home. You're letting them stay with you. You're feeding them. You know, showing them around, maybe, whatever. Hospitality. I've told you before, when we moved to Myrtle Beach the first time, I'd contacted through the AMEN program, American Military Evangelizing Nations, and it was the elder, and contacted him that we were going to be moving there and needing a place to stay or whatever. We got there, I think, on a Friday, Saturday, whatever, and we need to, you know, go to a hotel. Oh, no, you're staying with us. Didn't know him, besides an email I sent him, or a letter or whatever it was back then. I don't think we had emails back then in the 80s. But they opened their house, showed us hospitality because we were family, and let us stay with them for the weekend. Just so happened, a member of the church lived in a trailer park, and there was a vacant trailer, and we ended up renting it. Come to find out, that family knew me. She was from Pensacola and knew me as a kid, you know. And again, we have family everywhere. But that's hospitality. Opening your home up, bringing people into your home for meals or whatever. Yes.
Go on this trip, and he said, you'll understand when you come home.
Yeah, and again, hospitality is not just, you know, bringing people into your homes, but it's giving of yourselves. And like he said, you know, somebody needed money and you help. That's giving of yourself, is giving money to help them with what it is they need to do, you know. And so that's again, the hospitality is not necessarily opening up your homes, but sharing what you have with somebody else who is in need. Okay. Any other questions or comments on John 3? 3 John. All right, well, we only have about 10 minutes, and I don't want to get deeply into Jude, but we can just talk about it a little bit, unless you have something else. No? Okay. The book of Jude. Yes, sir, go right ahead. Yes. Yeah, he hopes to meet them face to face. Again, we don't know if he ever made it back or whatever because we don't have anything to go on. But he says, you know, the friends greet you, and you greet them by name if you can. Right. I have a bad memory. Names just, well, you know.
But the thing is, you have the attitude of friendship.
Yes.
You greet people like friends.
Yes. And you might not remember their name, but you can still greet them in a friendly way,
right,
and make them feel at home.
Right.
You know, we've talked about, you know, going to different churches and how they greet you at the door, to me, tells you about that church. You know, and especially when we are traveling around, you know, and moving to a new area and going to a church and they ignore you. You know, it's like, well, this isn't a really hospitable church. And that's how we always say it. It's not a hospitable church, you know, if they're not meeting you and greeting you. You know, and it might be one reason that I've always, you know, greeted people at the door. When we were at the Valley, and I was just, a nobody. I stood at the opening to the auditorium, and I would greet people as they left. I was, you know, chatting with everybody during services, you know, before services, but afterwards I went at the door and greeted everybody and said hi to everybody, you know, when they left.
In my trade, I've had to travel a lot, and anytime I'm out of town and I go to church, sometimes I can't make it on Sunday mornings, and so I'll go on Sunday nights, but it doesn't matter. I'll show up in work clothes, dirty, 12-hour shift, and I've never been to a church of Christ where I wasn't welcome and greeted and felt right at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that feeling. You can be away from home, away from your family, and just be out, you know, and start feeling lonely or whatever, but you go to church, you go to the church, and you feel at home again. And I've never not felt
right, and that goes to the hospitality, you know, greet with like friends, you know, and I think that is important that we as a congregation do is greet each other, but especially visitors, you know, because what does the Bible say? You never know when you might be talking to an angel, entertaining angels, okay. You know, if we knew that person coming in, you know, they're glowing white and everything, oh, that's an angel, how are you going to treat them? You're going to treat them with respect. You're going to show them the best seat. You're going to do everything, you know, but you should be treating everybody that way. You know, and James talks about that, about treating people with respect no matter how they're dressed. You know, too many times you take the person that comes in fine array, you know, fine apparel, and you show them the best seat, and you drop their feet up and you treat them right, but the guy comes in, you know, all dirty and dusty and filthy and hair's a mess, and you put them in the back. You know, and you know, you don't do that. You don't show favoritism. You treat everybody the same respect. That's what we as Christians are supposed to do. Debbie?
But the connection that you had could be the same. My situation, it's answered yesterday, answered a lot of questions for me. But because I seen a sister, I haven't seen her in years, I was able to talk to her.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like I said, we've been over to England and went to church. Did not know anybody, but we were treated with by family. You know, we were made to feel, you know, welcomed. And that's how we're supposed to be. And that's what he's saying here. Greet friendly, you know, face to face. You know, you might not know their name, but you still treat them as you did know them. Because we do. We're all Christians. We're all family. And that's how we should treat each other. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Well, we were able to use some time. So I'm going to stop there instead of getting into Jude. Go ahead and read Jude, short read, and we'll talk about that next week, and then a week or two, depending on how long it takes us to get through Jude, we will pick up with the Daniels and Revelation videos after that. Anything else? Thank you for being here.